And I want you to remember this as I preach this morning, because we're going to get into some things here in a little bit, but I want you to remember that. As we read this scripture this morning, as I read it to you this morning, I want you to realize that whenever this scripture was written, whenever Jesus was 13, this was the end of his public ministry. He had done. He had been done with it. He was getting ready to go to the cross. He was getting ready to talk to his disciples here alone here. This was the week that he was to go to the cross, and this is where this has happened at. He said in a few days he was going to the cross, a place where he would die for all mankind, a place where my sins and your sins could be forgiven at one day, where there'd be the ultimate sacrifice one day. In a few days he was going to do that. And as he called his disciples aside, as he's walking out of the temple, his disciples ask him a question, or his disciples wanted to show him, Lord, look at the temple, how beautiful and grand that it is. And as he walked by it, Jesus said this, as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that's what Jesus told them. And as the disciples thought about that, as they walked on over, they went up onto the Mount of Olives, and they looked back across, and they could see the temple. And they weren't satisfied yet. They wanted to know, Lord, what are you talking about here? What he was doing was he was giving them a picture of history. He's what he was doing. He was giving them a picture, and it was a prophecy to come. And can I tell you this morning, I hesitate to say what Jesus said was prophecy, because Jesus spoke the truth. It wasn't prophecy. And if you understand, I'm going to read the definition of prophecy here in a little bit. Prophecy means a prediction. There wasn't no prediction in Jesus' words. He knew exactly what he was talking about. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew what the prediction was. He knew what was going to come to pass. Now, he talked to his disciples, and they couldn't comprehend it. Not whatsoever. They were looking for him to set up his kingdom. We've heard this many times before. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for Jesus to set up his kingdom. They were familiar with Old Testament scripture. I want you to understand this. These disciples were very, very, they knew what the Old Testament said. Like Isaiah 9:6 and Zechariah 14, where it talks about the government being set upon his shoulders, where it talks, goes into detail about how this world was going to be set up. And it laid it out like that back in the old scripture. And his disciples knew that. And they were convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that he was the Son of God. His disciples were convinced. I pray this morning that the churches in this land were convinced that he is the Son of God. Because I'm not convinced that. I am not convinced that in churches across this country and across the world today that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They were convinced. They were convinced that he was the Messiah, that he was the one to come. They believed that they were about to see Jesus establish his kingdom here on this earth. Listen, he would set up his kingdom. This is what they thought. He would destroy all the enemies of God and of Israel, restore the glory of Jerusalem at that time, and call the Jews back to the homeland. And he would rule from Jerusalem. They were convinced that that was going to happen at that time. And listen, I'm convinced it's going to happen. I don't know what time it's going to happen, but he is going to set up his rule the way that he says, the way that they believed it back then. Israel then would be the greatest nation on earth. It would be, and I believe that's going to happen somewhere in the not too distant future. And they had in their minds this was going to happen that very day, that very time. And they had that. Everything just fit into place. Everything did. If you look back at that time, the world was in turmoil. People were in bondage. Sin was on every hand. People could care less about God. The same thing. Does it remind you of anything today? Does it remind you of anything today? I hope it does. Because I'm telling you, if it doesn't, you need to take the blinders off and look around a little bit. So in Mark 13, we find Jesus talking to his disciples, and his disciples asking him that the same thing that many folks ask today. The folks are out there asking it today. And I've heard it since I've been going to church. Lord, if not now, when are you coming back to set this thing right? Mark 13, 4, and I'll read it again. It says, tell us then, shall these things be? And what shall be the signs when all these things shall be fulfilled? But what they failed to comprehend is this. All that you read in Mark 13 covers a very long period of time. We're living in part of that time right now. We're living in it. One scripture that always stood out to me when I read Mark 13 comes at the, it says this in Mark 13, 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels, which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Can you comprehend that? Jesus Christ, the Son, doesn't even know when God is going to tell him, son, go get your church. He doesn't even know that. Mark chapter 13 deals with four different timelines. And I want to just talk about one of those timelines this morning. The first two verses of that chapter deal with the destruction of the temple. And that happened 40 years after Jesus told his disciples this right here. They come in and they destroyed that temple. They destroyed it, and just as Jesus told them that would happen, they took every stone that was there, and these stones were enormous. The Romans took and tore them down. There was not left one stone upon another. His disciples, he was telling them this. They couldn't comprehend that. They looked at that, and they said, how's that going to be? Verses 14, 3 through 13 are the time frame we are living in now. And I'm going to talk a little bit about those this morning. Verses 3 through 13. Verses 14 through 23 deal with the tribulation. And verses 24 through the rest of the chapter deal with his second coming. You do realize that whenever he gets back to get his church is not his second coming, right? He's just coming back to in the air, in the sky, and he's going to take his church out of here. One of these days, he's coming back to this earth to set up his kingdom, and that is his second coming. So as he looked at this, Jesus told them, life on this planet will be marked with relentless trouble. I said this Wednesday night, and I'm here to tell you, it will wax worse and worse. It is going to wax worse and worse. But as Teresa said this morning, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Make sure that you have Jesus Christ living within your heart. The things Jesus told his disciples have yet to come true, but they will come true. And he went out into the temple, and one of his disciples said, Master, what manner of stones and buildings are these? And Jesus answering said unto them, seest thou that these great buildings there, they shall not be left one upon another, but shall be thrown down. And he sat upon on the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. And they asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs when all these things shall be fulfilled? Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrow. Mark that in your Bibles, that last part of that verse 8. These are the beginning of sorrows. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing to what's coming. He told them how life would, on this sin-cursed planet, would be exactly as he said it would be. If you look at that, if you look at the scripture down through there, you get a full picture. If you combine it with Matthew and you combine it with Luke, you get a full picture of just exactly what's coming upon this earth. And we are living in part of that right now. If the Bible says it is a certain way, that's exactly how it's going to happen. Jesus said it was going to happen, is how it's going to happen. Now, I would like to talk to you this morning about that a little bit more. The question they were asking was not just about the temple. You understand that. Matthew 24:3 says this, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming? And he said, and of the end of the world." He wasn't just asking, they weren't just asking him about the temple. That was part of it. But he was asking, what are these signs? What's going to happen? And again, they get to ask the same, and get this, they didn't get it because over in Acts, the first chapter, 40 days after he was resurrected, they asked him the same question. They said this, "When thy therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And they didn't quite get it. And again, Jesus reminds them in Acts 1:7, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times, nor the power, nor the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power." What Jesus goes on to tell his disciples was very pessimistic. I'm just here to tell you, very much so. And why I'm saying this morning, you say, why are you doing this on the week of revival? Because this is why we need revival.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
This is why we need to understand that revival needs to come to every one of us. Brothers and sisters, the time at hand is going to wax worse and worse. And we need to stay on the firing line.
Amen.
Jesus knew what lied ahead. He knew that not only for them, but for us as well. He knew it. There were some who would say that this world is going to get better because we learn from our mistakes. I laugh every time I hear somebody say that. This world has never gotten better from the mistakes of the past. Never. One dictator goes, another one comes on the scene this world will be a better place, they think. Jesus did not teach that. That is false if you hear that. He thought this world would constantly and consistently get worse. He didn't think it. He knew that it would. During this time, I'll repeat, this time we are living in today. This is where we're at today. It says here, there will be many false Christs, false messiahs, false teachers, false prophets. There will be wars. There will be disasters. There's going to be persecution on every hand. Do you not see it today? I see it. Absolutely. And over this planet, the closer we get to him coming to get his church, it is going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it is going to get worse. We as Christians understand that. The world don't see it. The world's not going to see it. My voice to you this morning is, revival's coming, and we need revival for what's coming upon this planet, for what's coming upon this world, and what's coming upon us. We need it. And remember, but the word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
We're going to need that. We're going to need it. And Jesus answered him and said, "Take heed, lest no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." Folks, this is why I say that. All these are just the beginning of sorrows, as I said. All of them are just the beginning of what's going to happen. I look and I pray for my grandkids. And I know that you do too. I pray for my kids. I pray for the people in this church. Because I believe and I know what Jesus said, that it is going to get bad. It's going to get that way. Folks, this is why we need revival. We are in those times, and make no mistake about it. Make none. 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It's fulfilling. That is being fulfilled right before our eyes. Right today, we can see it. The first thing Jesus tells his disciples, and he tells us, is this. Listen, do not listen to anyone who tells you they know when Christ is coming back. Do not listen to a single soul. Nobody knows that hour. I read to you earlier, Jesus doesn't even know that. That is in God's hands. There have been, I can't count the number of times I have listened to people down through the years that will say, well, this is going to happen at this time, this is going to happen at that time, because this happened. They have no idea. The Bible says if you see the fig tree and it's getting fruit on, you know that the figs are going to come sometime. It's going to happen sometime, but we do not know the exact hour and exact day. Do not listen to anyone who tells you that. Back in 1988, and I say this, I don't know if you remember this or not, 88 reasons why Jesus will come in 88. Remember that book? It was there. 88 reasons why... Well, 88 went by and went come back, and look where we're at today. And Jesus didn't come back in 88. And there's been others since then. Heretics. Do not listen to that. Jesus told us that no one knows the time. Folks, do not listen or even entertain those who say that religion is leads, all religions lead to the same God, because they do not. They do not. There are many paths to God, they will tell you. There are not many paths to God. I say this over and over again. There is only one way. One way. And Greg said this morning, straight, straight. Listen to me. Listen, there's only one path, one path to get there. And that path leads through Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross and the work that He did. Anybody else says anything other than that, they're heretics. Brothers and sisters, we need revival. We need it. Do not listen or even entertain anyone who says stuff like that. The Bible and other religious writings around the world, there's no difference, they'll tell you. That's what they'll say. There's no difference in them. And as a Christian, we should be more tolerant and be more considerate of their views. Can I tell you something this morning? Being considerate of their views, being tolerant of the way they do without us telling them that Jesus is the only way, we are letting millions and countless millions go to hell because of that. That's heretics. That is heretics. A Pew Research poll said this, and I like these polls, because I look at these, and this just gives you an overview of what's going on in this country. 52% of American Christians think that at least some non-Christian faith can lead to eternal life. 52% of American Christians that call themselves Christians. I don't call them Christians. I'm going to stand up here and tell you this morning. If those 52% of those people actually believe that, they're not Christians. You're judging, Dave. No, I'm not. By their works you shall know them, and they know better. If they're reading this Bible, they know better. They're heretics. The last 15 to 20 years. And folks, this is why we need revival. This is why we need it. This is why I'm saying, I am so thankful that the good Lord has given us revival. Now, listen, I want to tell you a little something. I had one of the preachers that's coming this week call and told me, he said, if you have any other preachers, cancel out. He said, I'll take it. Amen. Thank the Lord. He wants to come and preach. Amen. Praise God. We need revival. Major denominations have accepted sin. We need revival. Something unheard of 25 to 30 years ago. Listen, it is now mainstream in thinking, because the Bible doesn't mean what it says, right? The Bible doesn't say what it says in it and mean it. That's what they think. I'm here to tell you, we need revival. This nation needs revival. They're heretics. That's what they are. Plain and simple. Revival is needed. It is needed. And Jesus answered and began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And as that scripture goes, as a woman is in labor, the Bible tells us, as there's a woman that is in labor, it says, you know how what happens, ladies, you know, the more the harder the labor pains come, the closer it is to you delivering. Amen? Brother, sister, the labor pains are pretty strong out there today in this nation that we live in. The sin is abounding. Brothers and sisters, we need revival. I need revival. I need to be on fire for God, because, listen, it is going to wax worse and worse. And if we don't keep our noses to the altars, and praying and saying, God, help us to stay strong. I think we read this. Mark 13:7, and when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must need be, but in the end they shall not yet be. Do you know the longest period of time in recorded history that there's ever been not war in this world anywhere? Do you know the longest period of time? Just take a guess. Anybody? 3 years. Of all recorded history, there's only been 3 years where there hasn't been some kind of conflict on this planet. Let that sink in. Wars and rumors of wars. Wars. And that was from 1926 to 1929. That's when it was. Right before what? Yeah, that's right. The United States has been in existence, and I want you to just let this soak in for a little bit, for 245 years. You know how many years we've been in a conflict or war? 225 of those. 92% of our time as a nation, we have been in some kind of war or some kind of conflict. Let that sink in a little bit. When Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars, and they will get worse and worse and worse, amen. He knew what he was talking about. Experts are saying, all of them are saying right now, within the next so many years, they're saying 5 to 10 years, we're going to be in a major war with China. Now, I just want to listen, brothers, sisters, we need revival. Amen. We need to get to the altars, and we need to get ourselves as close to God as we can stay. Because I'm here to tell you, it is not getting any better. It is going to get worse. It is not me standing up here wishing that it will. It's me telling you that it is going to, according to what the Word of God says. We need revival. The Bible says there will be earthquakes in diverse places. There'll be earthquakes in different places. And I've looked this up too. There's 20,000 earthquakes happen around this globe every year. 55 happen every day. Earthquakes. Jesus knew what he was talking about. And these will get worse the closer we get to him coming back. The closer we get. You know, one of these days, and praise his name, when he comes back to set up his kingdom, Brother Ken, he's going to set it up and it's going to be perfect. And one of these days, one of these glorious, glorious days, everything will be made perfect. But it isn't right now. There shall be famines. The UN gave out a hunger report here recently. The 10% of the world's population lives in hunger. 811 million men, women, and children live in hunger in this world every year. Every year. Oh, and you think it doesn't affect the United States? Just ask Belinda. She's asked us to do snack pack for kids in school. You don't think it doesn't affect this nation? I got statistics for that too. 42 million Americans experience food insecurity. 13 million of those are children. And I'm here to tell you, we need revival because this is going to get worse. Those that work in these schools, those that live up, they see this. This is going to get worse. Go talk to them at a food pantry. This nation needs revival. It needs it. Matthew 24 gives us more. And for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. You know what a pestilence is, don't you? It's a contagious or infectious epidemic disease. That's what it is. That's what pestilence. Listen. I'm not going to even get into the COVID stuff today. I'm not even going to get into that. Because you know why? Because we all know about that. I Googled how many diseases there are in the world today. I Googled it. Guess what? There's 10,000 known diseases in the world today. And only 500 of them have cures. 500 of them. Jesus said that this will get worse and worse. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen, Let's just go back to COVID. Now we got this variant. There's two other variances coming behind it. Jamie said here a while back, he preached about something about a new normal. Brothers, sisters, it is here. We are in these days where Jesus, we are in those time frame that Jesus talked about. And it is going to wax worse and worse and worse. And I praise God that one of these days He's coming back to take me out of this world. Either or by myself, or He's coming to take us out as a church. And glory be to God. I hope and pray that you are ready to go. I hope and pray that you're ready for revival tomorrow night. I hope and pray that you have got on fire for God and are staying there with God. Because it is going to get that way. We need revival. Jesus is saying this is going to get worse. And what it says in Matthew goes on to say, and all these are just the beginning of sorrows. There shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I'm like you. You probably watched a little bit of the 9/11 stuff yesterday. How many of you were in here watched some of that yesterday? I'm sure you probably watched a little bit of it. And we did too. But one of the videos that they showed yesterday that I just happened to watch just a little bit, I trying to study and just a little bit of what I've seen, but it showed a couple people talking on a talk show, and this was just shortly after 9/11 happened, and they were comparing Christians to the Muslims that hit the World Trade Center. They said, we're just as bad. It's coming. They're coming after us. They're coming against the Christians. They're saying that the Christians are the ones that are intolerant. They're saying the Christians are this and the Christians are that. And Jesus foretold this many years ago. And they shall kill you and shall be hated of all nations. Then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And this is the one that if you really want to look at, brothers and sisters, we need revival. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. You don't have to see that out there very far. I don't like to preach on current events, but I seen the other day in New York City where someone attacked somebody else with a hatchet. And showed the video of it, because there's videos everywhere, and showed the video of it. Or how that they walked up and in New York City and ran up to the car and shot this guy as he's getting in his car because he was a Jew, and they were going to exterminate him, and they shot him right beside of his car. And it showed it, the video caught it. And I could go on and on and on. Brothers and sisters, the love of many will wax cold. And it is waxing worse, and it is getting worse. And we have not seen the fruition of that yet. Because it will get worse, and it will get worse. Yes, we need revival. Not because it will keep us from stuff happening to us. No, that's not why we need revival. We need revival because it's going to happen, and we need to be close to Him, and we need to understand that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And if I hang on to Him, I'll be able to get through this stuff and get to where He takes us out of this world one day. That's what we need. We need revival because of a world that will consistently get worse. I really get upset when I hear preachers preach that, you know what, man, you can have your best life here. You can have your best this here. You can just have it all right here. I thank God that He gives us blessings, but I'm telling you, my best life's not going to be here. My best life's going to be when I get to heaven one day. My best life's going to be when I get to be with the one who died for me and the one who shed his blood for me, that I can go and be with him for eternity. I need revival to keep on keeping on. Jesus said if we grow closer to him, he said we can overcome the world. Why? Because he overcome this world. He overcome it. The stuff I read there, this is all stuff that's happening and going on right now. We don't have to be rocket scientists, as they say, to see what's going on in this world today and to know that it is getting worse. I'm here to tell you this morning, praise God, it is getting worse, but I know that it's just one step and one day closer to home. How about you? I'm ready for revival. I'm ready to be preached to. I'm ready for people to set me on a straighter path. Let's just put it that way. Show me where I can do better in my life. Listen, revival is to revive you. Show you where you can do better in your life. Help you to understand that, praise His name, you can be what God wants you to be through the power that lives in us, through the Spirit that lives in us. We can overcome what lies in front of us. And I praise His name this morning. Betray. Listen, yes, revival is not because it's going to keep us from all this harm. That's not what I'm revived about. Listen, the devil's out there to seek it and devour and to destroy anyone that he can. He would do it. He doesn't like your family, Ken. He doesn't like your family whatsoever. He doesn't like it. Lucinda, he doesn't like your family. The devil doesn't. I go across this church. He doesn't like your family. You know what he wants to do to it? He wants to destroy it. He wants to take it. You can come get a song, by the way. He wants to take and destroy your families. He wants to take and make it out to where, you know what? Oh, woe is me, and all this stuff going around. There's no hope. I'm offering you hope here this morning. And all that I said this morning, there is hope, and that hope is only through Jesus Christ. If you're sitting in this church this morning, and I do not know your heart, but I can tell you right now, Jesus Christ knows. I'm here to tell you, it ain't nothing to be afraid of. I'm telling you what, we are living in extraordinary times. And we can open our spiritual eyes and look and see and say, Lord, I know where we're at, and praise God, I know that you hold my hand. But if you don't know that this morning, as they get this song, I'm here to tell you this morning, come to this altar. I don't mean walk, I mean run up to this altar. Let Jesus Christ get a hold of you. Go into revival. Go into revival on fire for God and save this morning. You know, if you just want to come up here and pray this morning, I strongly recommend that. Let's come up here and pray.